This is the Management Technology Show for the 10th of January, 2019. This is Jim Thompson, your host. Hope you enjoy our show today. In the centerpiece section, we'll be talking to Devin Barnes of Advanced Coil Technology.
Are you facing a complex installation, expansion, greenfield project, or maintenance project? Make the smart choice. C.R. Meyer, a nationwide industrial general contractor, specializes in the pulp and paper industry. Our skilled millwrights, pipe fitters, iron workers, boiler makers, carpenters, laborers, cement finishers, operators, and a team of experienced project managers, architects, and engineers are safe, effective, and efficient on any project, planned or unplanned. Take the smart step toward getting your next project finished safely and done well. Contact C.R. Meyer at crmeyer.com.
Well, this week we're in Chapter 13 of the Proper Production or Project Meeting, and Chapter 13 is titled Dealing with a Nonconformist. You are likely to have one or two people who resist the changes we are talking about in this book. They must be dealt with, or discipline will be lost and the meeting will revert to its old ways, thus losing its newfound effectiveness. Resistors will show up late, show up unprepared, be sullen, or in any other number of ways attempt to be disruptive in a passive-aggressive manner. Start by dealing with them privately. Do they understand what is expected of them? Are they untrained in their own role? As a leader, your job is to make sure you have given them all the resources possible and they have had a chance to show they know what to do. If, after your best efforts, they don't come around, it is time for action. How long do you wait to take this action? No more than a month. What is the action? Well, they certainly can't be on the leadership team any longer. They will probably need to leave the company. I've seen a maintenance manager fired for not bringing a pad of paper and a pencil to the morning meeting after three warnings. Sends a message. You want to strike a balance between being compliant and being creative. You do this by setting broad goals in general. Have a problem area? Zero in on it and check the details until you're satisfied it's under control, then back off to a maintenance level when you start seeing stable and high standards reporting on the subject. The motivation of the nonconformists can have many root causes. Maybe they're bored. Maybe they're just defiant. You may have taken them outside their comfort zone with what you're asking them to do. If you're going to attempt to save them, you will need to determine their motivations and address those directly.
Did you say Hairmaster?
No, you dimwit. Airmaster.
Caremaster?
No, Airmaster.
Daremaster?
Clean your ears out. I said Airmaster.
Stairmaster?
Oops, don't try that one. It's probably trademarked by someone else. Airmaster.
Ha ha, got you on that one. I said Stairmaster. S-T-A-R-E, Master. Tearmaster?
I'm going to tear you. Airmaster!
Oh, I get it. Airmaster.
Yes, Airmaster.
But what do they do?
Airmaster Aerator, the patented aerator that makes a difference. More than an aerator, a complete waste treatment system. Airmaster Aerator.
Hello, I'm Jim Thompson with Papa Ritalo Publications. Today we want to welcome Devin Barnes, General Manager of Advanced Coil Technology, to Pulp and Paper Radio International. How are you doing, Devin?
Just fine. Thanks, Jim. Thanks for having me today.
Devin, can you give us some history of Advanced Coil Technology? But first, before you do that, where are you located?
Jim, we're in Owatonna, Minnesota, which is just about an hour south of Minneapolis. Owatonna has a long history as a great manufacturing town with lots of skilled workers, so it's been a great place for us to call home for the past 22 years. First, so that your listeners know, Advanced Coil manufactures heavy-duty, industrial, air-over-fin welded heat exchangers. And these include heating, cooling, refrigeration, and heat reclaim coils. Our products span a wide temperature range from cold to hot and utilize several mediums including steam, hot and cold water, glycol, thermal fluid, and hot oil. 95% of our coils are built with stainless tubes and either aluminum or stainless fins. And we also offer options for copper fins or carbon tubes. We build bare tube coils, housings, transitions, and custom air handling units as well. No matter the product, it will be designed and built for heavy-duty industrial application. So we were founded by Doug Kennan, who had been the head engineer for King Company, a large local coil manufacturer. During his years designing, building, and warranting coils, he came up with a coil design that addresses many of the typical modes of failure in heavy-duty industrial coils. So in the earlier years, it was just Doug and one or two guys helping him perfect his design and build his first coils. Over the next 6 to 7 years, he was successful in getting his message out to the market and building a customer base. About 16 years ago, he added on an engineer, shop supervisor, and a manager. And all of them are still here, and they form the core of our management team. And we build a differentiated product. We're really selling the talent and experience of our people. Ours is a niche market with a technical application. You know, no standard model numbers here. Every one of our office staff has a technical component to their daily responsibility, be it design, engineering, or drafting.
Devin, when I visited you a few weeks ago, you were telling me about Advanced Coil's technology and how it sets you apart from the competition. Would you care to elaborate?
Sure. There are two key design differences. First is our segmented fin bundle, and second is our press-fit fins. Traditional coil manufacturing starts by stamping full-size fins and inserting the tubes into the fins and then mechanically expanding the tubes to create the fin-to-tube bond. This results in a monolithic fin bundle. Our segmented fin bundles are smaller, six-tube fin bundles that we combine to make a complete fin bundle. You know, there might be four bundles in a small steam coil or 72 bundles in a large fluid or refrigeration coil. These segmented bundles are free-floating, meaning that they are not constrained by either the tube sheet or any of the adjacent bundles, and that gives our coils the freedom to expand and contract as the temperatures cycle up and down during operation. The major benefit is that we eliminate practically all the bending stresses that occur at the tube-to-header joint, which is a very common mode of failure.
Well, what other benefits come from this design?
Since those bundles are much smaller, you know, six tubes versus 40, it does not take as much force to stamp the fins. And this allows us to use a heavier, hardened fin material, which is a lot stronger than the typical fins used in the industry. Our most common fin is a 25,000th thick, half-hard aluminum fin, but we can go all the way up to 40,000th thick in aluminum. Stainless, we can run up to 20,000th thick. The thicker fins are good for both strength and heat transfer. Those thick, hardened aluminum fins are tough. We've shown that we can put a 3,000 PSI pressure washer right on the corner of a fin that won't bend. In fact, we have pictures of our shop trucks sitting on a single bundle, and the fins aren't bent.
Impressive. With all the particulate in the air at pulp and paper mills, I can see how this would be a real benefit.
You're right. That ability to safely and effectively clean the coils is a real benefit. Clean coils have better heat transfer and a lower pressure drop, both of which reduce the cost of operation. How many times have you been in a pulp and paper mill where the pressure is so negative that you have to fight to open the door? I'm willing to bet you that the air handling units have plugged coils, and there are coils that can't be cleaned because the fins are thin and the fin spacing is too tight. This is costing the plant a tremendous amount of money.
You also mentioned press-fit fins.
Yes, the press-fit fins are really a unique design. Remember earlier I referenced mechanically expanding the tubes to get the fin-to-tube bond? We take the opposite approach. Our fins are stamped with an undersized hole, and then the fin is pressed onto the tubes, basically drawing out that fin collar during the process. The drawn collar is a tighter and more reliable bond with the tube compared to the conventional process. Pressing the fin means that we don't need to expand the tubes to get our bond. When you expand the tube, you use a tremendous amount of force, which adds a lot of stress to the tubing. This leads to stress failures in the corals, especially in corrosive environments.
Well, why do you say especially in corrosive environments?
Well, in traditional manufacturing, the tubes are expanded so they create that interference fit with the fin. During that expansion process, the outer surface stretches, creating microcracks along the entire tube surface. And all these cracks are places that corrosion can attack the tubing, and the effect is exacerbated with the added stress in the tubing and the temperature cycling that coral sees. Since we don't expand those tubes, they remain in their mill direct and most corrosive resistant state. Another benefit is there's no limit to the tube wall thickness that we can use. If you want a 1/20-inch thick wall, that's no problem for us.
So, 1/8 inch thick, and you can do it. Very good.
Yeah.
So, do you have a superior warranty?
Jim, good question. We've been doing this for over 22 years, and we know that it works and provides real tangible benefits in the right application. We back all of our coils with a standard 5-year warranty. We don't know of anyone else in the industry doing this on every one of their projects. And Jim, I can tell you that we don't worry. We all sleep well at night.
What applications are using advanced coil technology today?
Well, our three biggest markets are pulp and paper, grain seed processing, and dairy processing. In pulp and paper, we primarily produce heating coils, both for the paper machine dryers and for the processing space, as well as heat reclaim systems. We're a great fit for this market due to the high steam pressure and the amount of particulate in the area. These coils all eventually become filters, and our fins can withstand the added airside pressure and can be cleaned with 3,000 PSI water without damaging the fins. In grain seed, we build a lot of replacement coils for the various processing ovens and dryers, as well as heating systems for spray dryers and, of course, heat reclaim systems. This can be a very corrosive environment, so we see more stainless steel fins and use of 316 stainless in that industry. Other applications include drying soybeans with bare tube coils, smokehouses with copper fins, foundry sand cooling coils, thermal fluid heat dumps and air handling systems, cooling coils with removable heads so the tubes can be cleaned, and bare tube coils for application where there's a fire hazard. All these applications speak to our real value, being able to engineer a coil to meet a specific need.
What is the longest serving advanced coil in service today?
Another really good question that is hard to answer, especially when you consider that our design features are specifically meant to mitigate the stresses that cause these coil failures. I'd have to believe that there are some coils from the first year or two still in operation.
Anything else we need to know about advanced coil technology, Devin?
Well, to circle back around your intro, Jim, we're from Minnesota, so you know we're nice people. We also know a lot about heat exchangers and heating cooling systems, and we build a really good coil. So they should get in contact with us if we can probably help you design a system that fits your need.
Now, once again, how do interested folks contact Advanced Coil Technology?
Like anything these days, they can find us on the web at advancedcoiltechnology.com. On the site, you can see if there's a local rep, or they can call or email us directly. All the information is there on the site.
Well, we've been talking to Devin Barnes, General Manager of Advanced Coil Technology in Owatonna, Minnesota. Thanks, Devin, for joining us on Pulp and Paper Radio International today.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate the opportunity to speak with you.
From bales to cores to finished rolls and parent rolls, automatic handling is your guide to overcoming the worst material handling headaches. Located in Erie, Michigan, Automatic Handling International has been providing advanced state-of-the-art equipment to the paper industry for over 4 decades. Automatic Handling's equipment makes management, operators, and maintenance smile. Elegant solutions, simple to operate and maintain. You get a feel for their dedication to advanced equipment design and advanced manufacturing when you visit their factory. Vertically integrated, the company can control every stage of a capital project from design and manufacture to full in-house runoffs and mill startups. You won't find a paper drawing anywhere in their plant. All manufacturing and assembly is directly linked to engineering and select suppliers. The assembly floor is instantly updated on any changes with extraordinarily large screens where technicians can see every piece, every assembly detail in 3D. This means your equipment can be custom designed and built for your operations while still providing extremely short lead times for your new solution from Automatic Handling. That's Automatic Handling International Incorporated, Erie, Michigan, USA. Visit them at www.automatichandling.com or call them at 734-847-0633. That's 734-847-0633.
This week's selection from Raising EBITDA, The Lessons of NIP Impressions, is called Practicality, and it comes from the week of the 11th of July, 2011. It was not so long ago that engineers and scientists often came from a rural background. This is still true in developing nations, but for those of us living in developed nations, it's more often than not no longer the case. My own situation is a good example. The practical applications of engineering and science, which surrounded me daily as a youth on the farm, helped develop my interest in becoming an engineer. My dad's outlook, which was one of repair yourself, of course, when the hot water heater went out and you needed a new one, you went and bought it and installed it. You wouldn't think of hiring anyone to do such a simple job, illustrates how things used to be. Today, people wait on the side of the road for the auto club to come change their flat tire. This has become the norm, not the exception. In fact, one consulting engineering firm I have worked with has a name for these book-learning-only engineers. They call them cubicle engineers. I'm always doing something practical around our home. Over the years, this has included things like building a basketball court and finishing the basement. My current project is designing and building an electric dumbwaiter that will haul suitcases or the laundry from the first floor to the second. I'm using a garage door opener standing on end for the power source. It is to our detriment that young engineers and scientists have little practical background and often seem to not be interested in one. Several years ago, a senior-level executive in one of our industry's companies told me they were stopping their support of a very well-known pulp and paper school because of their experience in hiring graduates from there. These young scientists only had interest in working in their lab. They did not want to enter operations and suffer the unpleasantries associated with a career starting in such an environment of heat, cold, noise, and shift changes. For pulp and paper companies to be successful, we need young people willing to start their careers working shifts and with at least the aptitude to learn practical matters. You can test these for these attributes and weed out those that can't demonstrate a willingness to enter the industry in this manner. It would behoove our schools to add, from day one, a bit of this practical side to the education process. It may not be possible to do so within the classroom, as academic programs are already overflowing with required courses, but through extracurricular activities and internships, students could be encouraged to get their hands dirty. In the working environment, it may be valuable to encourage our engineers and scientists to take courses at local two-year schools in subjects such as welding or auto repair. Such courses can help round out people and add a touch of practicality to their education. Another way would be to invite your local big-box home improvement store in to offer some of their in-store classes on how to do simple household repair jobs at your mill site. These could be on Saturdays or concurrent to shift change, where employees could easily attend on their own time. In my book, The Lazy Project Engineer's Path to Excellence, I point out in the early chapters the problems with cubicle engineers. Some of the ideas here can help your facility overcome these issues and ultimately move to a higher plane of operation. As you consider safety, consider that teaching practicality does involve a new set of safety skills. Practicing welding, for instance, takes a safety to a whole different level than reading about it in a book. Be safe, and we will talk next.
Attention, papermakers and industry professionals. Want to get an edge? If you haven't stocked up on selections from the Paperitalo Library, you're missing out. From our latest title, the proper production meeting, to owning your own Nip Impressions library, there is something for everyone. Written by industry stalwart Jim Thompson, the voice of the pulp and paper industry, these are great reads and must-haves for both the industry veteran and industry novice. Check out the Paparitalo Library today. Look for the ads on Nip Impressions at www.nipimpressions.com. Thank you for listening to our show today. We appreciate your support. Make sure you're always reading the highest-ranked e-newsletters in the worldwide pulp and paper industry. They are globalpapermoney.com and nipimpressions.com. This program has been produced by Pulp and Paper Radio International, now in its 8th year of delivering worldwide pulp and paper news when and where the listeners desire. Copyright 2019, all rights reserved. And remember, whatever you do, please do it safely. We'll be talking to you soon.